We're in the Bible today in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 to 22. Let me just read it so that we can lose this image of the Super Bowl and think of the image of what Christ has portrayed here in the Scriptures. Ephesians 2, verses 11 to 22. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from the citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Verse 14, for he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace. And in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Paul is continuing in this writing, in this letter to the Ephesians. He's continuing to build a foundation for the Christ followers who are reading this letter, and also for us who would read it, and for the many Christians through the ages who have read this letter. He's building a foundation on the reality that we have a relationship with Jesus. And as we have experienced that relationship, we have been given a new identity. We have been given a new reason to live. For sure, it has impacted theirs and our behavior and our relationships, but it's not just a haphazard occurrence what is taking place here. And Paul is making it clear. He's saying, what's happening in your life, in the relationship with Jesus Christ, is rooted in God's great love. It is rooted in his mercy and his plan for all of creation. It was a love that was set in motion right when he breathed life into Adam and Eve. And despite their sin and their disobedience, God has continually called humanity back to himself. And that's really the story of Ephesians. It's laying this foundation of God calling humanity back to himself. And then the last chapters, chapter 4 to 6, it really says, this is what it looks like in your relationships, in your daily life. If you consider the story of God, and I know last year we spent a considerable amount of time talking about the five acts, the story of God, and we spent a lot of time in the first part because it's so foundational. And we're reminded that Abraham, who is the father of Israel, he was a man who was chosen by God and blessed. But he was not chosen and blessed for himself alone, but he was chosen that he would be a blessing to all the nations. And so this is the backdrop of this, that God is calling humanity back to himself, and he chooses Abraham to be a blessing to all the nations. And then the nation of Israel, who were also chosen by God to put on display the glory and the goodness of God to all the nations, to live out what that relationship with God looks like, and to live out the goodness of God as a testimony to the world, even though they failed so many times. Again, the story of Israel is a story which calls out the goodness of God, the love of God to his people, a love that was to be displayed to all the nations. But finally, with Jesus, when Jesus came, the perfect man, God himself came to earth and he took upon himself the sin and the failure of mankind, that which we have celebrated today in the Lord's Supper, a picture of Jesus having taken upon himself all of our brokenness, our woundedness, our sinfulness, and our disobedience and rebellion. God's love, calling humanity back to himself. And so Ephesians is really kind of, especially the first part of it, is building that foundation, reminding us of God's calling us back to himself. And he starts out this passage with the comment, he says, remember where you have come from. Remember that formerly, he says, you were Gentiles by birth. You came from the Gentiles, and he refers to them as being uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision. A picture of the Jewish people calling those who were uncircumcised, kind of almost in a sense of ridiculing, saying, well, you are outsiders. And he says to this people who are reading this letter, he says, remember now where you have come from. It's interesting that Paul tells us to remember where we came from. Usually his take is this, forgetting things that are behind and pressing on to what God has called you to. But here he says, remember where you have come from. Remember so that they would get a greater perspective of what God has done. They are being told to remember the change that has been effected by Christ. And he says that they were outsiders separated from Christ, without God, without hope. I mean, the key idea that's contained in this passage is that they were foreigners. They were aliens. They were outside of God's promises. And they were outside, and they were considered outsiders by those who were inside God's promises, the Jewish people, the nation of Israel. Those who had been circumcised, who were historically inside God's promise. They, the outsiders, were the uncircumcised. Outsiders with no sense of God's purpose or promise. It seems somewhat harsh, actually, reading this and thinking about this and over it. But this was their reality. This was what they have come from. They were outside of what Christ had done, and that is what needed to be remembered. Last week in the first part of this chapter, the before, or the bad, as Marilyn put it, was that we were dead in the trespasses, or in our transgressions. We were dead without life. That's just one description that's given here of what being on the outside looked like. And it applied to all of us before Christ, by grace, has raised us to life and given us his life. Now, I think if you've been an insider all your life, or for most of your life, it's hard to imagine what being an outsider is like. I mean, for this first generation of Christ followers, they got what being outsiders or foreigners was like. Here they were experiencing for the first time the incredible goodness and love of God, while the original insiders, the Jewish people, didn't get it. In fact, most of them rejected and despised these outsiders. And they said, you have no part in God's great promise. Completely contrary to what God had said to Abraham right at the beginning of this great nation. When God said to Abraham, I have chosen you and I have blessed you so that you would be a blessing to all nations. So that terminology shouldn't have even existed, but it did. And Paul here wants them to remember that they were outsiders, and that despite that fact, they have always been on the inside of God's plan for humanity. It was always God's plan to call all people to himself, to have a relationship with all people. Though Israel failed in many ways to live this out, creating this protection or wall mentality of keeping the outsiders, the foreigners out, their way from God, Christ has come and he has broken down that wall. And he brought those who were outside near to himself. I mean, the language of this text is so linked with what we're reading and seeing in the news these days, isn't it? whatever your political persuasion or background, whatever, not any of that, but just even the language of it, this sense of exclusion, this sense of building walls, this sense of outsiders and insiders. It's a language that I think we get a sense of what that means because we feel it, we see it. You see the anxiety that it creates in so many different ways in our world. And this is the picture that Paul is saying to these Christians in Ephesus. He says, remember, you were outsiders. There was a wall built around you. You had no access to God. You had no hope. And then Christ, he says in verse 13, now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away, who were outsiders, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. What a powerful statement. When you get a sense of this being outside, this being separated, this being having no part in God's purpose and his plan, having no sense of hope, and then with one phrase, a turning of the phrase, in this one event, it says, in Christ Jesus, though, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. He himself is our peace, who has made the two groups, the Gentile and the Jew, the two groups one, and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. It has been nullified, setting aside in the flesh the law with its commands and regulations, and his purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two. Not that there is a Jew or a Gentile, but there is a new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross. He is our peace. He has broken down every wall, given us access to the Father by one Spirit. When it says Christ is our peace, it is a declaration of unity. It is a declaration that divisions have been destroyed, hostility has been put down, that we have full access, and that we are reconciled with God. Christ is our peace. He makes peace. He proclaims peace. This is a central part of Paul's theology. He talked about peace so often, and it is rooted in this Old Testament idea of shalom. Shalom speaks of wholeness. It speaks of complete wellness, physical well-being, prosperity, security, good relations, integrity. And Jesus Christ is all of that. He is our peace. He is our wholeness. He is our complete wellness, our physical well-being. Jesus is our prosperity, our security, our good relationships, and our integrity. What a great image here of Christ. He comes and he breaks down every wall, every barrier, everything that has kept us separate from God, everything that has separated from us from each other, every idea, preconceived idea, conception, all the things that we build up that create walls and divisions. Jesus has broken it down. The power of Christ's blood has broken it. And he describes this in a way, and he says, this is the way that life should be. This is the gift of God that is to be received in his presence. Paul goes on and he describes a new humanity that has been created, something new and completely unique. As I was thinking about this, I was thinking how marriage gives us a bit of a glimpse into how that happens. When a man and a woman love each other and they grow in relationship with each other, at some point they decide to get married and they enter into a covenant. They enter into this promise, a commitment, an expression of we will do life together in sickness and in health, in good times and bad, for richer or for poorer, and so on. And in the intimacy of their love is further expressed as they become one flesh. No longer two, but one, as it's described in the scriptures. But yet they are still two individuals, but their relationship is defined by their oneness. A new family has been created out of their covenant of love, their shared intimacy. And so we get a sense of what Jesus is, or what Paul is saying here. A new humanity has been created out of this covenant of love that God has made with us, out of the intimacy of relationship that we enjoy with him. The old has been torn down and broken down the walls. There's neither Jew nor Gentile, but there is this new humanity, this new identity in Christ. Christ has broken down the walls that have separated us from God, broken down the walls that separate us from each other. And he invites us to enter into what he has already done. That's a key thing. He invites us into something that he has already done. It's not something that we would try to bring on, that we would try to accomplish, but he invites us into something he has done. He welcomes us to experience this new humanity, this new life of peace, wholeness, physical, mental, and emotional well-being, security, good relationships, and integrity. He is our peace. He has broken down every wall. And then he says, look at what you have become. Look at what you've become. Look at what has happened. He says, no longer are you foreigners and strangers, but now you are fellow citizens with God's people, members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets with Christ himself as the chief cornerstone. And in him, the whole building is joined together, linked together, and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. When I was a kid, we used to do this little thing. I don't know if you remember it still. You pull your fingers together like this, and you go like this, and then you go, here's the church, here's the steeple, open up the doors, and here are all the people. It's a recognition that the body of Christ is, I mean, we think in terms of buildings and doors, but really the body of Christ is the people of God, built together to be this holy temple, together filled with the Spirit of Christ, living, alive, vibrant, full, and aware of the presence of God. Paul says, and he affirms, he says, you are fellow citizens because of what Christ has done. You are members of God's family, no longer outsiders who've been cut off, separated, but you've been welcomed, accepted, made members of this new family. And this was part of God's purpose and his plan all along. When God called into existence and spoke into existence Adam and Eve, it was because he wanted to have a relationship with humanity. And for a time, he and humanity enjoyed a fully open and honest relationship, a loving relationship. Then when the fall came through disobedience and sin, and it was broken, the plan, well, I don't know if it changed or it just took another course. But it was always God's design and intent to call people to himself in this relationship, through Abraham and Israel and all the things, and then finally through Christ. That which has been broken has been restored through the gift of God in Jesus Christ. Built, joined together in Christ, we have become a place, a temple, he says, where God dwells. And once again, the sense of God's presence is with us, within us, is possible because of what Christ has done. From a family, in this passage, the image moves to become a building. And then it's defined even more narrowly as a temple. A temple representing that place where God dwells. God dwells in his temple. God dwells in you and I. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit, Paul says somewhere else, because that's where Christ dwells. What a powerful image. Having moved from remembering we were on the outside, looking in and separated and without hope, to seeing the walls and barriers broken down by Christ, who is our peace, identified as members of God's family, the place where God lives within us, our life is lived out in this new reality. I have to be honest with you. As I work through, I love the book of Ephesians. There's so much richness and depth in it. But it is a little bit, well, I'm not sure if it's frustrating or it's just like there's so much, particularly in the first three chapters, that are just like high, lofty ideas, things to get your head around. It's like, oh man, that's like so way out there. What's here down on my feet where I walk, where I live, even in these lofty passages? And so I found myself through the study even of this passage asking myself the question again and again. That's awesome. That's wonderful. But so what? And I've come up with three very simple phrases that for me are the so what, particularly of this passage. I'll just say them as I've written them here. So what? What does all that stuff mean? Remembering where we've come from as outsiders, remembering that He is our peace and being thankful for that, knowing that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So what? Well, in Christ, I am no longer a foreigner or an outsider. I have been welcomed into His family. I am His and He lives in me. There's something about that that we ought not to forget. You are welcome. The kingdom of God is a huge, wide-open door of welcome. In Christ, I am no longer a foreigner or an outsider. I have been welcomed into His family. You have been welcomed into His family. The second thing that I get out of this, the so what, is in Christ, I have hope. My yesterday does not define me. My today is filled with His presence, and my tomorrow is secure because He is my peace. So often we carry the baggage and the things of our past, and they become walls and barriers to the full expression of His grace in our lives. In Christ, I have hope. He has broken down every wall, every barrier, all the things in my past. That doesn't define me. What defines me is that He is my peace. My today is filled with His presence, and tomorrow is secure because He is my peace. And the last thing that I get out of this is in Christ, I have access to God the Father by one Spirit. I have access. There's an open door to God the Father by His Spirit. My life is open, and it has access to God. And so my life is to be also an open doorway to allow for open pathways of access to God for all people. I need to be mindful of the walls and the barriers that I would build that would shut people out. Because I have access to God, I am to be an open door, an open access to allow others to experience God and to know Him. And so that's some of the pieces that I've taken out of this, that sense that says that, and really the key word, the defining word of this passage would be welcome. Welcome. I have been welcomed, and so I am to be welcoming. I am to be open as I have been welcomed into His kingdom. And why can that happen? Because Jesus Christ, the cornerstone, the rock, it is in Him alone that we have hope, that we have peace. I'm going to ask the worship team to come, and we're going to sing one last song, really focusing on Christ, our cornerstone. Just putting a seal on that, we'll come back and we'll give you an opportunity for any Q&A. But as we sing this song, I invite you just to open your heart to Christ and His presence, His work by His Holy Spirit in you, affirming again that He is your peace, that He has broken down every wall. Help asking Him to help you to be welcoming, to be open not only to Him but to others. Recognizing what He has done in you is so that others would be blessed in Christ alone.